Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 62 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled Lessons of Faith from a Centurion and a Woman with an Issue. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Hey guys, thank you so much for downloading this episode. Before I go any further, I want to say that if you like the podcast, please, please, please make sure you subscribe by going to either iTunes, Blueberry, BlueBrry, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and type in Tales from a Butterfly. And if you could please leave a comment and rate the podcast, that would be a big help to me and help, you know, for the podcast. The more ratings I get on iTunes and Stitcher, the more visible the podcast, which in turn will bring in more sponsors. And that's really good for the podcast. Also, head on over to TariaShondell.com, T as in Tom, A-R-I-A, S-H-O-N-D-E-L-L.com to follow my blog by the same name, Tales from a Butterfly. Okay, guys, so now let's get into it. Okay, so again, the title of this episode, episode 62, is Lessons of Faith from a Centurion and a Woman with an Issue. And the reason this episode came about, I have to shout out my dad. Hey, Dad, his name is Ron Lamb. He recently had a birthday. We recently celebrated his birthday. And I received a blessing that I expected. In retrospect, I received something that was owed to me for a while. And while I never necessarily lost the faith that it would come, I said I wasn't going to fight for it. I would just say, I know the Lord's got me. He's going to take care of me. And I'm going to be due and get what's owed to me. So I received part of that blessing very unexpectedly. So I called my dad, because my dad is, and my mom both are, I'll call them parents of faith, men and women of faith. And I thank God that they gave me and my brothers the gift of faith, or the lessons of faith. Of course, you know, you have to, you learn about faith, but that's something that's personal, that you, somebody else can't have faith for you. That's something very personal, but I'm so glad that my dad exposed us to faith, my dad and my mom, and allowed us to see them operate in faith. You know, as parents, they didn't just operate in faith, talk to themselves about it. You know, they would talk to us about things, faith or whatever, and we would see the manifestation of their faith. So that's, if I had to pick something that I was most grateful for, of course, the obvious, they took care of us. They loved us. They gave us what we needed and what we wanted. But the most important thing I would say that they gave us, and the thing that I'm the most grateful for, is exposing us to faith. You know, so I called my dad, told him about my blessing. And he said, oh, I know you probably were shouting and thanking God and running around. And I said, yeah, I was doing that. And he was saying, well, so, you know, I expected him to be like, yeah, that's good. And while he did do that, he also said, now I want to challenge your faith. Can you have that same response before you see what it is that you prayed for? So all the thanking God, the running around, the smiling, you know, shouting through the house, when I received the, you know, the manifest, or the blessing rather, can you have that reaction before you receive it? when you see it in your mind, as you're seeing in your mind what it is that you want and know that God has for you, can you have the same reaction as if you've already gotten it? And at first I was like, I mean, really? I didn't call you, told you about my blessing, but I'm so glad he did, because it, just from that conversation last week, it started me looking at my faith in a different way, in a different light. And although I know that I have faith, it really made me think about what he said. Can I have that reaction? Do I have so much faith that I have that reaction of thankfulness, of thanking God for giving me what he promised, or giving me what I asked for, or giving me what I needed before I even get it? So that he really got me to thinking, and we started talking about some scriptures in the Bible, and two people came to mind. He mentioned the centurion, and then the woman with the issue came to my mind. And when you think about it, these two don't have any names. They're just the centurion and the woman with the issue. And though the passage written about them was small, the impact that they have left, I know for me, is huge in regards to faith. So I just wanted to talk about some of the faith lessons that I truly learned this week. You know, I thought I'm on the right track. You know, my faith is good. And though I am, and it is, I realized that my dad issued a challenge to me that would ultimately benefit me. Again, can I praise God with that same level at the expectancy stage as I do at the manifestation stage? So I want to get into some of these lessons that I've learned. The first one will be the centurion. Now, the story about the centurion, although brief, is told in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. However, I'm going to read verses 5 through 11 and verse 13. They read, "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I come and heal him?' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, 'Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, let it be done just as you believed it would.' And his servant was healed at that moment." So while reading this, a couple of things stood out to me about that pericope of scripture. Okay, so I know it's really that passage of scripture, but I've always, ever since I heard someone say pericope, I looked it up to verify the meaning. Pericope simply means the text, like if I'm reading a chapter and I take out maybe some verses in that chapter, that's the pericope of the text. And I just like the way it sounded, so that's why I said it. So that's the word of the day for y'all, pericope. But anyway, so a couple of things stood out to me in this passage of scripture. Number one, when the centurion said, "My servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly," Jesus asked him, "Shall I come heal him?" He just asked him, "Shall I come heal him?" Like, gave him, "So do you need me to come fix it?" Like you telling a friend, "Oh, my car broke down." And their first thing is, "Oh, well, I got you. I'm on my way." And that made me think, you know, like there's quite a few times when I'll talk to Jesus about what's happening. "Lord, this is happening. You know, that's happening." I talk to him about what's making me feel like I'm paralyzed or frozen right where I am, you know, so unmoving, just stuck, you know, that it literally can make you sick. And at times I had literally felt like where I was, that feeling of being stuck was making me sick. Or I tell him this is happening or that is happening with this person or that person. And I now wonder if Jesus is trying to ask me, "Okay, so shall I fix it for you?" Like he did the centurion. "Shall I come and heal him?" Like, you know, is Jesus trying to say to me, shall I fix it for you? Or are you just going to tell me about it and that's it? You know how sometimes your kids will come to you and say, I always try to teach my kids to say what they mean. If they have a question, ask it. Don't let anybody assume that you're saying something that you're not. Or if to be direct, you can be respectful and direct, because if you're not direct, you can end up missing out on something. So if they're hungry, don't come down and say, oh, I was really hoping we had chips. So then I could say, oh, did you want chips? Because I could have them in the car, or I could be going out to the store to get some. So be direct. If the kids came down and said, hey, mom, I would like some chips. Do we have any? Direct. I'll either say, no, do you want me to go get some? Or yes, I have some in the car, or what have you. So, and that's the same thing with the centurion. He told Jesus exactly what happened. And Jesus said, do you want me to come heal him? You know, so I think about that. How many times have I just told Jesus my issue, but I was never clear and direct? Like, Lord, this is what I need you to do. This is exactly what's going on in the house, or, you know, at work, or on the job, or in my finances, or my kid's life, or what have you, the life of my friends. And this is what I need you to do. Number two, the centurion was humble. Even though he was in a position of authority, he humbled himself when he was talking to the authority. Because if you notice, you know, when Jesus said, shall I come to your house? Shall I come heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. And then he said, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. So it's like he's saying, even though he is holding a high position, this centurion, he recognizes Jesus's position and says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come because I am a man that's basically in authority, but I'm also subject to authority. And that just stood out to me. Like, here he is telling Jesus what he needs, but he's also humble, you know. And honestly, that made me think about church today. You know, you have your pastor, and then you may have a director, you know, over a ministry, but then you may have a leader over the ministry. Then you may have somebody under the leader and somebody under that person. And it's like, we need to get to the point where we can go before each other and be humble in the authority that we have when we recognize that there's also authority above us. You know, so many times we get caught up in, well, because I'm in authority, I hold a position, or rather, I hold a title. I'm in authority. I hold a title of authority. So people need to be humble to me. And dare I say it, sometimes people act like they're in the same position as Jesus. They forget. So we need to recognize that we need to humble those of us in authority, need to humble ourselves in that authority, because we're also subject to an authority. And I believe that the humbleness touched Jesus's heart as well. You know, I think sometimes we get away from that, the humbleness of God. And I'm not saying humble as in, you know, somebody asks you, do you want to sing a solo? Or somebody asks you, do you want to preach a sermon? And you're like, oh no, because I'm so humble. That's not what I'm saying. Because if your dream is to preach and your dream is to sing and you're given the opportunity, that could be an opportunity given, presented to you by God. You know, by all means, if it's a God opportunity, not a good opportunity, but if it's a God opportunity, take it. But I'm talking about humbling ourselves and knowing when we're in the presence of a real authority, regardless of whether you agree with the authority above you or not. All of us are subject to authority. I know I was on my job and years back, and the manager was just so, I can't even begin to tell you. What I do know is that I had to train my manager, and he would say different things and things that were wrong. And I was like, and I, in my mind, I'm like, man, whatever. He can't tell me nothing and he don't know anything. And I was just going on and on. Da, 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 da. And someone told me, Taria, you're still under his authority. So you need to subject yourself and humble yourself and recognize the fact that you may have a supervisor position and be in authority, but you're also subject to an authority. And whether you agree with what that authority is doing or saying or not, that's not your job to try to police him. So I had to learn that. And I feel like so many of us, if we were like that centurion, you know, and just humbling ourselves, you know, it may get us a little further. And the third lesson, you know, Jesus, who according to Hebrews 12, verses 2, NIV, he is the pioneer of our faith. Again, in Hebrews 12, verses 2, NIV, it says Jesus is the pioneer of our faith. And yet this pioneer of our faith says to the centurion, he has not found anyone in Israel with such great faith, almost as if he's amazed, you know, and then told the centurion to go and let it be done just as you believed it would. So in other words, it happened. The servant was healed because of the way the centurion believed, because of his faith. You know, he believed that his servant would be healed just by Jesus sending the words. You know, and doesn't that make you think? Because I know that made me think. If I truly believe and have faith that what I want to happen is going to happen, that it will be, it will manifest just as I believed, could it come even sooner, even quicker? Because I really have that assuredness. You know, and I can say that I personally experienced it before, where I say something and then a little while later it'll happen and the scripture will pop into my head. I'm sorry, you know, faith without works is dead. But I truly feel like it was because I believed with my heart and my mind, and I confessed my faith with my mouth. I believed it, you know. But talking to my dad and reading this, the story with the centurion again, it made me want to continue to strengthen my faith and to make sure that my head and my heart both believe, and that I speak what I say I believe, that I don't speak against my faith, that I don't allow the pressures of the world, or that I don't allow the fact that it may not be manifesting right away, and the fact that it may seem like, you know, I keep being in certain cycles. I can't allow that to affect what I say. I have got to make sure that my heart and my head speak and believe and maintain my faith. Now let's talk about the woman with the issue. Another brief story, but long in impact, is told in Mark and Luke, but I'll be reading from Mark 5, verses 25 through 34, NIV. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciple answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And it's like, man, she had the stamina to keep moving as she was losing blood consistently. Her stamina combined with her faith. Jesus felt it, even though she hadn't touched him physically. She had touched his garment. And not only, it's not like she touched a sleeve, a shoulder. She touched the hem, she touched him at the bottom at that. And now, just like, you know, with the story of the centurion, there are some things that jumped out at me when I read this text again for like the 100th time, because, you know, let's be honest, I know I grew up in church and you've heard about the woman with the issue all throughout the years. So I've read this text many, many times before. And yet God always seems to reveal things you may not have seen before, or reveal things to you, or illuminate things rather, when the time is right. Now, one of the things that I really thought about was the fact that she was bleeding for 12 years. So we tossed that out casually. Yeah, the woman with the issue, you know, she was bleeding for 12 years. And you're like, oh, yeah, 12 years is a long time. Now, again, I had read that before and understood it. However, I started thinking about 12 years of continuous symptoms related to her issue. 12 years of this prolonged issue that can cause tiredness in your body, lack of energy, and possibly a shortness of breath. So imagine dealing with that for 12 years. You know, you have a lack of energy, you're tired, your breath is coming in spurts. That would definitely make for a life that's not being able to be lived to the fullest. And imagine living, you know, your life with an issue that makes you feel like you're living your life at half mast, like halfway. You're never truly 100%, you know, never fully being able to be a part of life because of a condition that legally back then there was a law to keep you in and away from others. You know, imagining living a life where you looked, where you were looked at differently. And that's made very clear that you're considered unclean and not like everyone else. If you look at Leviticus 15, verses 25, NIV, it reads, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has a discharge that continues beyond her period. She will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. You know, and we know this went on for 12 years. So think about it. If it was the full 12 years, that is 4,380 days. 4,380 days, aka 12 years of her feeling like an outcast, of society looking at her a certain way, of her being kept in and being considered unclean. And it's a continuous cycle, you know, year after year after year. And yet she still believes she could be healed, caught up in this cycle, both metaphorically and really caught up in a cycle year after year. And she didn't lose her hope. It makes me wonder, how many times have I been caught up, I feel like, in a certain cycle, whether it be finances, marriage, your thoughts, your jobs, what have you, caught up in a cycle, and it seems to be like the cycle continues. You'll go away from it and it comes back, or you'll stay in it like this woman, and you kind of start to lose hope and start living and talking, throwing out little comments as if you were doomed to that life, as if you weren't being healed, as if you were never going to come through your cycle. That made me really think, like, this woman suffered 12 years and she kept the faith. So I had to check myself, like, even when I go through cycles, I've got to keep believing. I've got to keep a hold to my faith, even if I have to hold on to my faith with my fingertips, because the Bible says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is small. So as long as I have that kind of faith, I've got to believe and keep going. And then number two, the other lesson I got was, I feel like this woman is literally wedded to the promise of healing from God. And she's wedded to her faith in the promise of God. I mean, she had to be. And I truly believe that was the way she was able to hold on to God's promise of healing for 12 years, 4,380 days. I mean, just her faith and expectation alone provided strength to her body. Because again, you know, with the excess of blood loss, makes you tired, weary. So just her faith and expectation alone provided the strength to her body that was living with a continued issue. Now think about that. This woman, who the Bible says had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And yet she continued to have faith. She lost everything, everything she had. And she grew worse. It's not even like she lost everything she had and she stayed the same in her condition. Her condition worsened over time, and yet she held fast. How many times in life, again, that made me think, you know, have we lost something? Maybe not everything, maybe everything. But maybe, you know, a car was repossessed, a house foreclosed on, an eviction from the place you were living, a job that you might have lost, friends that you might have lost. And yet we want to give up hope. We want to give up hope because we feel like we've lost this and it's getting worse. But this woman's story, this woman with this issue, this woman who they didn't even name, Her story shows us that we have got to continue to hold on no matter how long it takes. And I know you may not want to hear that, because I know I definitely don't want to hear it. I want instantaneous. I know sometimes, again, I have to check myself because I feel like Taria lives, or I want to live in a microwave world. You pop it, you pop a prayer in and a blessing pops back out. Ding. And I'm just being real. So you don't want to hear it may take 12 years, 10 years, 15 years. But guess what? It will manifest just like with this woman. Again, 4,380 days. And she was getting worse along the way. And she was healed. And think about it like this. If we're going through a time, you know, when it seems like everything that we're close to seems to just slip through our fingers, and we're just feeling like we don't even know if it'll get better, let alone get worse. We don't even know if it'll get better. Think about grabbing hold to your faith, because that is the only thing that will make life bearable enough to get through and still have your joy. Because you can get through it, but be miserable, make the people around you miserable. But if you can get through it with joy, you know something's got to give on the other side. You know, and let's think about this. If you plan on continuing to live, even in the middle of your loss, and I mean literally continuing to live, like you still plan on being alive, right? Even through your loss, walking this earth, your faith and expectation in God's promises to you are the things that you'll again need to hold on to in order to live with joy. You know, in spite of everything that's going on, hold on to that faith, that mustard seed sized faith, and you'll be able to get through your losses with a joy. And now let's talk about her faith. Well, we've been talking about her faith, but really dig into her faith. You know, we all talk about faith. I know I do. And I say I'm living faith. But this woman with her issue, like the centurion I talked about a little earlier in the podcast, they showed me a different side of faith, which stemmed from the conversation again that I had with my dad. And I talked about that also earlier in the podcast, a different side of faith, you know, praising God before what I believe for manifests, as if it has already manifested. Now, I know for me, I say that I live the faith and I truly believe that God will provide whatever I need. So me and the faith that I have start making plans. You know how it is. I have faith, but I'm going to go ahead and make this plan, God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lay out a blueprint for you on the ways that you can provide what I need. You know, if you just follow the blueprints that I laid out, God, because I have faith, God. I have faith that you're going to do what it is that you told me that you were going to do. I have the faith, but I just wanted to make it a little easier for you, God, and lay out some blueprints for you to follow. I'm sure some of y'all have been there, because I've been there many a times. And I'm thinking that because I've laid out a plan and then tried to attach faith to it. Again, I've laid out my own plan and then tried to attach my faith to it. I feel like I'll get the result that I was promised. But this woman who had a persistent issue, she simply believed and then made her way to Jesus and touched a piece of his robe. And her belief was so strong that he felt it. Like he felt the vibrations of her faith. He felt the vibrations of her belief, so much so that he stopped and had to know who touched his robe. And so now think about that. Picture that in your mind. There were others in the crowd touching him. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So everybody's out and they're touching him and pulling on him, I'm sure, touching his actual body. And yet she touched his robe, the bottom of Jesus. She touched the bottom of the robe and he felt it. I mean, that just does something to me, like to vibrate faith on such a frequency that your faith and your belief cause Jesus to have a physical reaction, because that's how strong you believe. And then when she revealed herself, he said to her, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Her faith is what healed her. I started looking at that from a different side, like her faith healed her. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the word substance, according to Merriam-Webster, means a fundamental or characteristic part or quality. The word evidence, according to Merriam-Webster, means an outward sign, something that furnishes proof. So when you really think about faith, essentially what that verse is saying, that faith is the fundamental quality of things hoped for and an outward sign that furnishes proof of things not seen. And without it, it's impossible to please God. Faith furnishes the proof of things that are not seen that we're hoping for. So I'm hoping for a thing. I'm believing for a thing. But when I have faith for a thing, that's the faith is the proof that I'm going to get that thing that I'm believing for. And that just blew me away. I'm like, man, faith furnishes proof of things that are not seen. So everything that I'm praying for, fasting for, everything that I believe for my family, my faith is the proof that it does exist and I'll get it. It's not just my imagination running away with me. My faith is the proof of the promise. So I started to really examine my faith and I told God, I want the faith of these two individuals whose faith was so strong that God did what they needed on the strength of their faith. And now I want to encourage you, my dear butterflies, to keep a hold to your faith for whatever it is that you need God to do for you. Keep hold to your faith. And if you feel it wavering, because we're human, but we're not superhuman. We have human frailties. So yes, your faith may waver, but you can ask God to strengthen it because your faith is the very thing that will cause God to feel your touch, to feel your vibration, and it will move him to do exactly what you've been believing for. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and listening to Tales from a Butterfly. Go to either iTunes, Blueberry, BLUBRRY, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, or any other place podcasts can be found, and type in Tales from a Butterfly and subscribe to the podcast. And please rate the podcast by clicking on the 5th star for those of you with an iPhone, or you can go to Stitcher, STITHER, if you have an Android, and leave a review. It takes less than 2 minutes, I promise you. And if you're feeling generous, please comment also. Now, FYI, if you don't have iTunes, as I mentioned earlier, you can listen in on Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Now, when you go to Blueberry, in the search bar, type in Tales from a Butterfly. When the directory pops up, click on any episode that you want to listen to, and you'll be given the options directly in that screen to subscribe to the podcast through either an iTunes, an email, or through, I believe it's Podcast Addict for Android users. The more ratings I get, again, the more visible the podcast, which in turn will bring in more sponsors, and that's really important, guys. Also, head on over to TariaShondell.com. That's T as in Tom, ariashondell.com, to follow my blog by the same name, Tales from a Butterfly. And please share the episodes with your friends, your families, your coworkers, on your social media. I said it last week and I'll say it again. Come on, y'all. It's your girl. If you can share a meme, you can certainly share a podcast that you say you believe in and support. Speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, Instagram TS Faison, and on Facebook at Tales from a Butterfly. And guys, remember, no matter what it is you go through this week, no matter what you've been going through for the last 5, 6, 7, 12 years, remember, just like the woman with the issue, and like the centurion, hold on to your faith. Grab a hold to your faith so tight that somebody would have to wrestle it out of your hands. And when you feel it wavering, fall on your knees and ask God to restore your faith and strengthen your faith. Because remember, faith is the proof that the thing you asked for really exists. Trust, believe, keep that faith the size of a mustard seed, and God will manifest everything that he promised you and the things that you've been asking for. Fly on, butterflies. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.